Collingwood coach Nathan Buckley is in the studio. Nathan, welcome. Did you watch any of the golf?
I got up this morning, and traditionally, sort of, I think the Monday morning that's when I like to see what's going on. The last sort of four or five holes is generally when it gets cracking, but they started early last night, so finished early this morning, and I wasn't there for it.
Are you a golf fan? Are you a golfer?
Well, I can hold a golf club and I can swing it at a golf ball.
Does it make connection with said golf ball?
Look, I used to hit them okay, and I don't hit them anywhere near as well. So, and since becoming a father, I find there's better ways to spend five spare hours than go around the golf course. So, no, I wouldn't classify myself as a golfer.
Did you play the way you wanted to play on Friday night?
We went about it pretty well. Really rate the Bulldogs and their capacity, you know, to win ground ball and contested ball. It's always been a one wood, even under, you know, Brendan McCartney way back, and then with Bevo. The 2016 flag was built on the swarm mentality, outnumber at the contest, and then that, you know, they're so clean with their hands, flick it around and get it in their front half and then lock it away. So that was, there'd been parts of that over the last couple of years, and it definitely were strong elements coming back early this year, and had some pretty solid wins, obviously Sydney and Hawthorn wins, and only just going down to Gold Coast. What we witnessed in that was that they were really strong around the ball. So we had to match that and then best it, and we were able to stick that out. The will to win that our boys displayed, especially in that last quarter, was really encouraging.
Not sure if you were listening to Breakfast, Nathan. Tim Watson and Nick Riewoldt had a discussion about how they see Collingwood playing. This is part of that discussion.
What are they doing at the moment? I've watched them play the last 3 weeks, and there's this really slow, deliberate build-up off half-back.
Yeah. Looks like they've been seduced into playing that possession mark kick style because it was so effective for them against Richmond early in the year. So it looks like they've fallen into that and just trying to play perfect footy. So they need to, I think, get back to what they were last year, which was build it up, build up, build it up, and then take territory, bring your smalls into play.
Is Nick right? Have you been seduced into playing a different way?
Seduced is an interesting word for it, but I think we've fallen into it a little bit. There's no doubt that the game style that we were able to execute against Richmond, who were folding back pretty hard that night, they gave us a lot of that that high mark, high possession game style on that particular occasion. But all you're ever trying to produce is a game style that's going to win you, you know, games of footy against, firstly, the opposition you're playing on that week, but then a consistent game style that you think is going to, you know, be good enough to beat the best opposition when you come up against them. So we're still tinkering. We're still working to improve the way that we execute our plans. One thing I will say is coaching our boys is like it must be something like driving an F1 car. They're very responsive. If we give them a bit of feedback, in particular about our offense, say we want to go forward more. Yeah, we really need to go forward more, boys. Well, then there'll nearly be an overreaction that way. If we say that we want to, you know, spread the ball or change angles a little bit more, well then we won't look down the line and we'll change angles. So our players are very responsive to the coaching message, which is a great thing, but it's also something that I've become aware of and we're very careful about. We play a very expressive brand of offense. We're very happy for our players to express themselves. At times they can that can mean they can feel the flow of a game that they want to slow it down, and at times we definitely want them to use their legs and drive it forward into a damaging forward line. But yeah, we're still looking for that balance and what opposition defences are doing, and that has an impact on the way that you move the ball.
Do you see the team as playing differently this year to what got them into a grand final last year? And is that inevitable?
What I see is there's probably enough information now in this season for people to make that to make that assumption. We're not playing quite as freely as we did towards the end of last year, and I think we need to remember that home and away is, for us anyway, is about evolution. You know, we're still trying to find a game style for us, or impose our game style for us, that is going to be consistent against any opposition. So yeah, we've come out, we think we've played some decent footy. We thought we started the season off really, really slowly, but we're pretty happy with our progress, and we're finding out a little bit more about some new members into the side and a slightly different dynamic and balance. But yeah, that's the great thing about it. It never stays the same.
So you use the term freely. I think that's what Alistair Clarkson was referring to yesterday in the post-match media conference. You heard the audio in the opener. He says the competition is a bit lost with the new rule changes. Do you agree? How have you reflected now on the new rules and how they've affected scoring and game style between both teams in the first four rounds?
I know. I suppose you need to break it down. 6-6-6, the scoring from centre bounces up slightly.
Are teams doing what you talked about earlier more and being slower out of the back half because they don't want to turn the ball over more so than last year?
Yeah, I don't follow the argument about how the rule changes would impact on that. I think that there's definitely coaching philosophy changes. I mean, we're seeing Geelong and St Kilda in particular playing more of a surge brand of football, you know, skinnier. Yeah, not looking to switch the ball as often and going down the line more to numbers, and then being prepared to surge it, you know, welcoming the contest there and then being prepared to surge it forward, and to being able to defend that field position by being really clear about where the ball's going, so it's a little bit easier to defend. And both of those sides are quite slow. You know, their mark play on numbers have dropped significantly. So there's enough of a trend there to see a game style shift. I think I get the instinctively I feel like there's been some sides that are just happy just to possess. So Geelong were a possessing side in the back half over the last couple of years to really control, to shift the opposition's defence a little bit, but mainly to control and slow the game down, slow the tempo of the game. I don't think that the rule changes have had as significant an impact as people would suggest, but there are significant changes that take place because, you know, sides are trying to win, and one way of winning is to kick a score, and the other way of winning is to prevent the opposition from scoring themselves.
So, what would your hypothesis be as to why scoring is down across the competition?
I think generally in this block of footy, you've got players that have come out of a full preseason, which is great. You've got the highest intensity games in those first couple of rounds, and I think that you come down between sort of rounds 3-4 into 6-7-8. You've got players that are sort of start grinding a little bit. The intensity's still pretty high, but the players are feeling sort of for the first time banged up sort of through a season. So you might get guys that are just starting to really take that next level of game conditioning. So I think you've often find that like the intensity of games are at their highest in home and away in those first three or four rounds. And then you sort of so I think in the end players can be a little bit maybe the play's not as clean. Maybe they're a little more careful, especially depending on the messaging from the coaching. Are they a little bit more careful about, you know, how attacking they are, about protecting their back half? You know, there could be elements of that in the game. It takes a little while to open up. I just don't believe that this is enough of a sample size to make, you know, rash calls on it. But then again, if one of the more respected members of the footy community and, you know, one of the best coaches of the modern era, Clarko, makes that comment, it's going to draw attention.
1300 736 736, 0433 98 11 16. The Collingwood coach Nathan Buckley is in the studio here for Mornings for Doncaster BMW. Experience the new BMW series at Doncaster BMW, and for Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy. More with Nathan Buckley after this. Nathan, one of the great positives about the Pies this year is that you've got an embarrassment of riches is maybe too strong, but you've got great depth playing in your VFL. We'll get to that in a second. Will Hoskin-Elliott, is he close or getting closer to playing?
Yeah, he had an iliotibial band, so an ITB release about 5 weeks ago now, maybe a little longer. But yeah, he's back top of the ground, been training pretty well. Okay. We expect him to play VFL, not this week, maybe the week after. And then it's just a matter of when it's the right time to introduce him.
Levi Greenwood has been in and out of the side this year.
Yep.
I just want to talk to you holistically about Tigers. We saw once again Matt DeBoer did a terrific job on Tim Kelly on the weekend. A lot of people, when I say a lot of people, some experts will say they don't understand why Tigers aren't more in vogue, and other coaches will say, well, it affects the system too much.
Yeah.
Does your mind change depending on who you're playing, or do you have a strong philosophical view on it?
It depends on what your mix is versus the opposition's. You need to also believe that you can get the job done, that you have a player that can actually achieve the role on your target player, whoever that is.
Like Greenwood did on Martin a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, so I'm pretty sure that if Leon Cameron didn't think that DeBoer was going to do the job on Tim Kelly, for instance, and he didn't feel like he had a player that could do the job on Tim Kelly, that you wouldn't tag and you would find another way to attack that challenge of a Geelong midfield, including Kelly. So I think that having a stopper in your side or in your squad is definitely a necessity because there are times where players just match up really well on other players. So tagging in the midfield is no different to defending. So a back playing on a forward. You know, it's designed to blunt their offensive capabilities and, you know, potentially tip into your opportunity to start offense, to win contests and start offense. There's not many taggers around these days that don't win the ball themselves. And the capacity of sides to move a player who is being tagged from midfield to wing or from midfield to forward or even behind the ball makes it more difficult to plan for stopping the players that have and teams that have the capacity to move their players around. So there's a few things against it, but having said that, you know, we've had Levi run with at times. Chris Mayne has done it. James Aish has done it. Pendles did it on Cripps last year. He played on Bontempelli on the weekend, and they sort of went head to head a little at stoppage, more so. But we have they might not be as heavily scrutinised or discussed, but we have defensive roles in our midfield more weeks than not.
So reading into that, Nathan, Greenwood have to have a target player in mind to have him selected, or it's not that cut and dry?
Well, Levi's primary position is a high back. So we've trained him up as a high back, and he understands that. And at the moment, in round one, we had seven guys or the three or four in his role sort of as that high defender in front of him. So Jack Crisp had come back and played really well. James Aish has been executing that role really well. Braden Maynard and Tom Langdon. So they're the guys that were in front of Levi at the time. We chose not to go with a run with against Geelong in so far as having Levi in the midfield. And we're still working out whether we can get the job done in a balanced sense, offensively, defensively, and at stoppage with a four or five man midfield that we've got at the moment. Or whether we need to have an absolute negator and stopper in that mix. It does change our dynamic a little bit, and we've got time to work that out.
You mentioned Chris Mayne. How is he and his back?
Yeah, he's really sore. So he's got a couple of cracks in that transverse processes. So that's the structural part of it. But in and around that, the thing that causes the discomfort and the pain and would have prevented him from playing is the spasm that happens around that injury. So he'll miss a couple of weeks. and it'll just be how he comes to hand, so how quickly that spasm subsides, and how freely he can move, you know, over the next couple of weeks. But yeah, it's a significant knock. It was always going to be to keep him out of a game of footy. He's a pretty tough character, so it was unfortunate for him. But we were able to get the job done for him on the night.
I've heard you speak at length before about pressure in sport, and we saw Tiger Woods dealing with pressure and needing to make bogey on the 18th today at the Masters. We'll talk about that later in the show. Can you give us an insight, Nathan, into the pressures of coaching? I know you don't want to speak for him, but you know Brendan Bolton's turning up today in a very different way than he would have been if they had won on the weekend. They're 0-4. There's obviously pressure on him, as there are on a lot of coaches, but you've lived in that seat before. Mm. How tough is it?
It's probably, I mean, it is a challenge. There's no doubt it's a challenge, but it's not the same thing that that I think is speculated on from the outside. I mean, I don't know. My gut is that he would be really well supported. Like, so Brendan's not an island. Like, the Carlton Football Club at this stage, like today, after yesterday, would be hating the situation that they're in. I don't really sort of don't feel like talking about them specifically too much, but there are pressures that come to bear at different times on footy clubs. There is an over focus on the coach himself, the senior coach himself, and that role. But he, we do take on that mantle of the figurehead of the football program.
Yep.
But I would suggest that when things do get tough, that you really find out about the makeup of a football club. And we won't see it externally. What will happen will be what happens internally. You know, does the leadership band together? Do they reiterate the things that are working? How closely are they sticking to a plan that they felt that they needed to execute? How closely are they going to executing that plan? Is there anything they need to adjust? Are they having the right conversations? Are they supporting one another? It's all about what happens internally, which will dictate whether the club itself has the resilience to be able to get through downturns, because every club goes through downturns. And then if the club can do that, it'll generally be because they're supporting the individuals, and the individuals will have shown and displayed the resilience and positivity needed to get through those downturns.
That conversation always seems to turn in the fans of that question that, can he coach? You know, I mean, that question would have been asked about, you have been asked about hundreds of coaches, but it must be a weird question to hear, because what does it mean, and how do you judge a coach?
What it means is that people that aren't coaches think that they know better than coaches.
Yep.
That's what it means.
Yep.
The fact is that every coach that is now applying his trade in the AFL, whether it be a line coach, an academy coach, or a senior coach, you can coach. And what is coaching? I mean, coaching is developing the individuals and trying to assist them to find a better level than they had in the past.
Mm.
And then how do you meld that together to find your best team football? So most, you know, all the coaches at AFL level can coach. But it's an easy one to go to when you're not winning.
Appreciate your time. Good luck this week.
Yeah, thanks, mate.